Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for Dungeon Masters to work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Maniac.
And I am DM Chris, a.k.a. Sea Witch.
Wait, no, that doesn't... Wait, huh? Done. That is the second spot. I guess the C could stand for Chris. I literally hadn't thought of it through
until now. Chris Witch.
Chris Witch. Done. Perfect.
Changing my Twitter handle?
Yes. And if you do not know, that DM Chris is one of the hosts, one of the returning hosts, thankfully, thankfully, to the DM's block. And Celeste is in the throes of finishing up the Venture Maidens Kickstarter, which I think by the time this airs, maybe there will be seconds left on it. And hopefully it crosses over that 100,000 mark so that there will be a full adventure in the world of Venture Maidens.
And just to cover all of our bases, we wish them all of the best and congratulations. Yes. I don't know how this works, Neil. Time travel's weird.
By the power of editing, I will have left all of this in. And
yes.
So today I thought it would be fun, since it's not really something we've done before, to bring Chris on and go ahead and do like Celeste and I have done and approach an article. And the title of this DMnastics is going to be It Rings True.
Yes.
This one will have a double meaning because Chris and I were talking before. This is probably the most accurately titled and then information given out of an article the entire time that we've been doing this. And it's all about what?
About powerful magical rings. Because you were telling me beforehand, like most of these that you both have done have been so clickbaity.
Oh,
and that's why when you sent me this article, I was like, I don't fully understand what Neil's saying to me, because this actually, and I'm not up to date on all of the magic rings that are out there because there's a bunch of them, but I was like, this list seems accurate. So I don't get the clickbaity thing that you were talking about.
Neil. No, that's the whole thing about the double meaning of It Rings True. And what is actually nicer about this article, and it makes me kind of think retroactively, nope, it's not true of other articles at all. Some of them are totally from past editions. So the nice thing about this one is that it is all rings from the basic rule set of D&D 5th edition. So all of these are under the OGL, the Open Gaming License, and basically it's free to download and have all the stats behind all of these rings with really nice art. So again, it's one of, I don't know, it's just by chance, because I literally picked one random. I have a giant folder of articles and picked this one at random, and it ended up being probably the most accurate thus far.
To date, yeah.
Yes. So with that, we will, I guess, lift the mental weights right now.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
Okay. We should also probably go in order, because I feel like, and Chris, I think you feel the same, this is also written in like 10 to 1, kind of like 10 is the least best, if you will, and 1 is the best.
Yeah, because each one has like slash 10 next to it, and it's counting down to 1. So that would be my guess as well. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense why they did that.
Oh, no, that's right, though, Chris. That's right. It doesn't really matter sometimes. They're in order, just like you see here, and it has no bearing whatsoever. So, you know what? Let's give credit where credit is due. This is for this article is entitled 10 Best Magical Rings in Dungeons & Dragons, written by Paul DeSalvo, and it's on cbr.com, comicbookreview.com. So, Chris, what is our number 10?
Number 10 is the Ring of Resistance, and it does exactly what you think it would do, is that it gives you resistance to the corresponding damage type that it is that it has imbued to it. So resistance to things like fire or necrotic damage or whatever it might be, they take half the amount of damage they would take from that source in that type of magic, or that type of damage rather. And so that's just super useful.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Neil, but if I was an adventurer taking half damage from necrotic damage or fire damage or acid damage, like, that would be a lifesaver. Like, I would be the best mercenary if a group knew they were going to go into a place that was filled with poison and I had a resistance ring to poison. Like, it makes sense that it's on the list because it's super useful. It's not flashy, but it's super useful.
Yeah. The what was actually a little bit hard for me was when I saw it, my years of 3.5 got in the way and I was all, oh, that's really interesting. It would give you plus. Oh, no, wait. That's not how the stats work in 5th edition, because I think of the Cloak of Resistance, as you would level up, you'd get a plus 1, plus 2, and that would give you a plus 1 or plus 2 to your saves, like your dexterity save or your constitution save. And so that's where my head was at, and I was like, oh no, this makes perfect sense, because damage resistance. Awesome. So it did make me think of that, and then think of like, how does that apply to 5th edition, only to lead me to figure out that a Cloak of Resistance in 5th edition, as written by Frog God Games, just gives you advantage on saving throws.
Mm.
So that's your 5th edition alternative.
There you go.
That, this is also why these articles are very beneficial, because I wouldn't have done that had I not read that article.
Correct.
Ah.
Neil.
Yes.
What's number 9?
A terrifying image of a wildly accurately drawn eyeball that is the Ring of X-ray Vision. So basically you can see through things, surprise, it's X-ray vision, but what I was not expecting was that you need a DC 15 constitution save or you gain a point of exhaustion.
I was not expecting that either.
Yeah, so it's interesting flavor wise of like, what does that look like? My thought would be that there is like you're exerting that much effort to accomplish a task. And if you fail, then you have a point of exhaustion for looking through like a door.
Well, because otherwise, yeah, I mean, you almost have to have that modifier or curse, if you will, on it, because otherwise everybody's just going to like ruin dungeons and, I mean, do really weird stuff with the Ring of X-ray Vision, right? Like, because you can look up to a foot through a foot of stone, or 3 feet of pretty much any other substance, right? And so it's like, you almost have to have the trade-off. Otherwise, people are just going to walk around, like, looking through everything, and their minds might literally explode because of all the stuff they're taking in. But
yeah, and this is the kind of one that I would certainly want to give really early on, just because magic is probably going to invalidate it so quickly. It's rare. I don't... Okay. I don't think I would have done that. I don't know that I would have necessarily given it the rare quality. And I would really want to give it, yeah, like I said, just very quickly, because several things happen where your rogue is probably going to outpace it because of just raw bonuses and skills.
Yep.
Your wizard, cleric, druid, warlock are probably going to outpace it because of magic.
Yep.
So it would either be give it to the martial class that won't have magic, or just give it really early and not care about the fact that it says.
Well, I was gonna say, even if you give it to a class that it doesn't matter, and like you still have the other spellcasters that it's like they're just gonna do their thing before it's even worth them doing it. You know, it might be nice to have as like a backup in case you are low on spells or something, but yeah.
Yep. Early and often. Chris, what is our number 8?
Number 8. Wow, you're giving me like all the protection things, Neil. Yeah. Number eight is the Ring of Protection. It does exactly what you think it does. It protects the person that's wearing it. It's a rare item that gives players an AC plus 1 and also gives them plus 1 on saving throws while wearing this ring. So that's pretty useful. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times that, I mean, plus 1 to AC is incredible. Like Neil, I think you and I talked about this on a DMB episode where it was like, would you rather take health or AC, extra health or extra AC, you know, when we were talking about flavoring monsters, and it was like, oh, AC is ridiculously powerful to have a plus one in, and the saving throws too is like,
yeah,
I can't tell you how many times somebody said like, oh, the DC is 14 and I've rolled like a 13. It's like, gah, are you kidding me?
Yeah, as you know, because I sent you, of course, I'm wearing a death save shirt, and I sent you that giant death saves die that this actually applies to death saves as well.
Oh, it does.
So if you look at that,
yeah, that's true.
So if you look at the die, it has 10 skulls on it, and one skull has a small dot next to it to denote that it is the 9, because if you had a ring of protection on, even a 9 counts as a success for a death saving throw.
That makes sense. I never noticed that little dot. Now I know.
Boom. Which is also interesting because, again, thinking about the 3.5 days where I have Ring of Protection plus 1, plus 2, plus 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would do that, but here in 5th edition. But it is also interesting to think about how those numbers go back and forth.
Speaking
of numbers, number 7 is the Ring of Regeneration, which is useful. I don't know that I'd have given it 7th place now that I'm looking at all these rings, because it heals 1d6 hit points every 10 minutes.
And what's the other thing?
Okay, but I mean, that is nice that it will also heal body parts back within 1 week.
But how often have you ever told somebody that they're missing a limb? Personally, I don't think I've ever done that as a DM. I've only seen it happen once as a player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it brings in interesting mechanics of, like, are there rules out there for limb damage and amputation? Like, I'm sure there are, and it could give you the opportunity to, like, do fun things with that sort of game if your players want to. It could also just be helpful for a cleric to have as they're, like, walking around town, or like, hey, person missing an arm, let me do a good deed, you mm-hmm. know, and give this person a ring for a week. I don't know. It seems like a really powerful ring to just be handing out to anybody.
So it is considered very rare, and it will actually do it within 1d6 plus 1 days. So theoretically, it could be 2 days. And then I would also think that, like you said, though, like having it available almost as a flavor piece for a temple or somewhere right. that they go, rather than just a thing that the player has, because one of the other things we talked about was using it in game for being able to push. Because, like, one of the things about, like, that also kind of negates it is like, oh, I took a long rest. I automatically have my health back. What if we can't rest and we're using these rings of regeneration to push further and further and further?
Yes. So, Neil, I'm excited about my next one. You know why?
Why?
Because it's not a protection ring of any sort of kind.
Correct.
Number 6 is the Ring of Telekinesis, which telekinesis is already a super crazy cool spell, but to have it in a ring where you can cast telekinesis at will is pretty intense. But Neil, like we were talking about before the episode, it does not have all of the abilities of the actual telekinesis spell, because that would be ungodly. And it is only a very rare item. So you can only cast telekinesis on objects that aren't being worn or carried. But that just means turn that massive tree limb into a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what we can tell, it looking at the telekinesis ring, it's one of those things where there needs to be a discussion on both sides. Like, what do you, the player, like, if I gave it to Chris, I would need to decide, Chris, what do you think you can do with it? And I have to either say yes or no, and then we come to some sort of agreement an agreement that we will need to decide in certain moments that there may be the chance for no. Because, again, you could just use it all the time.
For sure. Hey, here's this cart that we're all carrying in. I'm just using the telekinesis spell to move our cart forever. You know, like you could do literally anything you want with telekinesis. So. Yeah, but it's a super cool. I mean, I think it's rated correctly because telekinesis is a crazy powerful spell, because you can lift up to 1,000 pounds with your brain through the ring, obviously.
Well, and the other thing is, like, it's every version of that, because you can also exert fine control on objects with telekinesis as well. So even like the example it says is like using a simple tool, opening a door, stowing or retrieving an item from an open container, pouring contents of a vial.
Yeah, it's super useful. Yeah.
Okay. Ring of Spell Turning. Do you know what it does? It turns spells. It's, again, it's super straightforward. All of the rings, for some reason, are like really straightforward. Basically, you have an advantage on all saving throws. And with that advantage, if you happen to roll a 20, not only is all of the damage from the spell negated, but it is instead redirected at the spell's caster.
Bull.
Yeah, the only key here is that it has to be a specifically targeted spell. So if you're in the middle of a fireball, that does not count as a targeted spell. But if it is targeted at you and you roll 20, which obviously you have more chance because you're rolling two die, it will have the chance to then bounce it all back, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I mean, it's the like magic version of rubber glue back to you, you yep. know, sort of thing. Like, hey, you're going to cast like. Like, I wonder, the crazy scenario I think of in my mind is, like, that would work, right? Against, like, a beholder if it wasn't looking right at you? Like, on, like, a death ray or disintegrate or something? Right? Wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes, because it is more specific in it. Well, okay. Here's another fun fact. You can look at the article and you can also look at D&D Beyond. It's preferential that we do both for the sake of ourselves and of course the sake of anything we're gonna say on a podcast. So no, I said spell turning, not spell story. Get out of here. While wearing this ring, you have advantage on saving throws against any spell that targets you, not in an area of effect. In addition, so that would see, and this is exactly why I looked it up, because the term they use in the article is against magical attacks. So if I would have only read this article, my answer to your question would have been undoubtedly yes. But now that I see that it says spell, I would then need to go to the beholder, look that up, and determine how I felt about what I classify the eye rays as.
Yeah, I just think it would be super funny if they cast Disintegrate on you, if it did work, and the spell is ricocheted back at the beholder, and the beholder disintegrates from its own disintegration ray.
Oh, it's so good.
Like, just sounds super awesome. Oh, man. All right, Neil, our next one, the Ring of Elemental Command, which is super fun. I don't know how often it would be used, but it's like... certain aspects of it, I don't know how often it would be used. So regardless, the ring is linked to one of the four elemental planes. The GM chooses or randomly determines the linked plane. While wearing this ring, you have advantage on attack rolls against elementals from that linked plane, and they have disadvantage on attack rolls against you, and you get properties based on that linked plane. So it's obviously linked to like the airplane, earth plane, fire plane, water plane, like all of these things. And they all have different abilities that are linked with them. So for example, if you want to take the earth plane here, right? You have resistance to acid damage. You can move through solid earth or rock as if there are areas as if those areas were difficult terrain. If you end your turn there, you are shunted out to the nearest unoccupied space you last occupied. You can cast the following spells, so on and so forth. But it takes you, I believe, killing one of those to access all of those. Yeah, so if you slay an earth elemental while attuned to the ring, you gain access to the following additional properties.
Yeah, so it's classified as legendary. So that also comes with the fact that you have five charges and you regain 1d4 plus 1 expended charges daily at dawn. Spells cast from it have a DC 17, and it doesn't look like you have the chance of anything breaking at zero charges, because that comes up sometimes as well. But yeah, so just using the earth elemental so that we don't go off into the weeds, but you can move through difficult terrain that is composed of rubble, rocks, or dirt as if it were normal. You can also speak Terran. Oh man, this is nuts. But yeah, if you decide to like kill an earth elemental while attuned, yeah, that's when you unlock all of these other options. Which just everything about it is just kind of like, I don't know, it's a little sketchy, because it's like, not only am I commanding, I can use double charges to dominate the monster. Also, if I just murder one, I get more power. So,
well, I'm curious, if a druid wild shapes into an elemental and you were to kill it, would it work?
No.
I was gonna say, because that seems a little broken to be like, all right, druid friend, use one of your wild shapes so I can use this item.
Yeah, and I also think of like, what is the extent that the term slay happens? Because if I kill an elemental on the material plane, doesn't it just go back? Does that then imply that I need to go like to the elemental plane of Earth and murder one there, and then I get cool powers? Because again, this whole thing sounds like, I mean, those are some choices that we got to talk about.
Right, right. Yep. Super cool. Again, there's a little bit of gray there, but it sounds awesome if you are able to slay one of those four types of elementals.
Ah, the Ring of Invisibility.
My precious.
Yes.
Sorry, that was terrible. Terrible.
Every character's best friend. You literally just use an action and turn invisible.
Right.
And but it is like the lesser invisibility. Oh, wow. I'm actually surprised because it's a legendary ring, but it only does it like normal invisibility. Interesting. I probably would have given it greater, but that's just me.
But you can do it as often as you want, though.
But yeah, you're invisible, and then you could just do it. Because that's the other thing, you could do it, and then you just go invisible again, potentially next turn.
Right, and you don't have to worry about, like the Ring of Telekinesis, you don't have to worry about it taking up a spell slot to be able to do it, which is super cool.
Yep. What is next?
So, Neil, number two on our list is the Ring of Genie Summoning. And I know there's all sorts of different ways that people pronounce this one, but that's what we're going with for the time being. So this ring allows you to summon a genie from the elemental plane of air, which appears...
A CR-11 monster, go on.
Correct. Within 120 feet of you for a maximum of 1 hour or until it drops to zero hit points. What's crazy is it's friendly to you and your companions. It obeys and the commands you give it, no matter what language you use. And if you fail to command it, the genie defends itself against its attackers, but no other actions. You can only use it once every 24 hours, which is insane to have a CR-11 creature that's just like, oh, crap, we're fighting the big bad guy for the day. Hello. Friend, come and hang out with us and do all of your crazy things. You know?
You mean once per day casting Conjure Elemental, Air Elemental only, which would mean that it then summons an additional CR5 creature with it?
Correct. Which is insane how much potential this has. Yeah.
Wow. Create Whirlwind. Yeah, this is next level, to be sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's
plane shift is an option. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's so many crazy things that this thing can do that it's just, it'd be really nice to have on your side.
Oh, you know.
And you get to feel like Aladdin.
Yes, exactly. Robin Williams. Will Smith was okay, but Robin Williams always.
This is true. Plot twist at the end, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Will Smith one.
Yes.
But, you know.
So, that leads us to our final ring. It's the Ring of Three Wishes. Of course it is.
It makes sense. You can do basically whatever you want with three wishes, except for wish for more wishes.
Yes. Yeah, and it's such an interesting one, because as long as you're willing to just let it be something else, like, there's no drawback. Like, if you cast a lower spell, but then, of course, if you want to stretch it out, make more happen, obviously that gives the DM some tools by which to finagle your wish and make it probably something you didn't want. But it is often like the MacGuffin in a lot of things, because it can reverse most anything that's happened in the world. So,
yep,
there you go.
Yeah, which is crazy. Or you can heal mass amounts. I mean, it's insane. So it makes sense. When we looked at this list, it made sense to both of us that the Ring of Three Wishes was number one. Well done for not screwing that up, Paul.
Hey, you did a fantastic job. And if you thought we did a fantastic job, you should head over to your podcatcher of choice and name it, because your podcatcher is an actual creature catching pods for you. Cannot change my mind. But you can give us a review. And of course, the other thing is, if you want to pay your gym dues, go tell someone about the podcast. Have them join the DMnastics crew, if you will. And of course, if you want to email us about the rings you've used in your games, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com. And on Twitter, you can find us at dmnastics. You can find me at jokemaniac. You cannot find Chris at C. Conowich, because that's where Celeste is. But where Correct. Could they find you?
They can find me at DM_Chris1 because there's that one maniac out there that took DM_Chris. So I am number one.
The worst. And for everything else on the network, you can head over to blockpartypodcastnetwork.com. Of course, we want to thank the amazing people over at Bombarded for our intro and outro music, and you can find out more about them at bombardedcast.com.
Neil, I've always wanted to say this, so can I say this?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Let's head to the post-workout cool down and stretch with the light bulb.
Light bulb.
So, Neil, for the light bulb today, this is something that I walked through Barnes & Noble like 2 weeks ago or something like that and really thought, you know what? I don't need to buy that right now. And then it kept itching and scratching at my brain. So yesterday I had a daddy-daughter date with my daughter where we went back to Barnes & Noble because it just kept being there, right? And it's one of those things that I'm super excited because I'm like in world builder mode right now. And it is the World Builder's Journal of Legendary Adventures. I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's 365 questions to help you create mythical creatures, storied worlds, and unique campaigns. So it asks anything from like, describe an old scenario that you were in as a player, and how would you have done that scenario differently? You walk into a bar and there are five patrons. Write down what they look like. So it's like literally just prompts that you can do once a day. They usually tell you how much to write. They give you one page to write it on. And I'm super excited to walk through it. It is currently $14.59 on Amazon. And it's listed as a diary. So there you go. You can write away in your D&D World Builders Journal diary. And there's plenty of other ones out there. I'm sure there's even websites that you could go to do like world building prompts every day. But it's just one of those things that like, I have so much intention to world build all the time and then I never do it. But hopefully this is an opportunity for me to write out some cool things that will help the current campaign that I'm in based on the prompts that I get each day. So that's what I have for the light bulb.
That is, I mean, it's like one of the more DM-nastics things just existing in the world right now.
Hey,
And it is certainly official, like from top to bottom, definitely like a sanctioned partnership with D&D based on how much it looks like a lot of the other fifth edition stuff.
For sure, yeah.
I also want to know this bestiary notebook set that are 8 mini notebooks that are...
So they're super cool. They're like the next thing that I want to buy. It's 8 of the most iconic creatures on the fronts of each of the journals. So you have Displacer Beast, you have a Lich, you have Owlbear, Knolls, Beholder,
Mind Flayer.
Is that a Tarrasc on there too? Or is that a Rust Monster? I can't tell. It's so little.
I can't tell either.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, there's a dragon too, I think.
Nope, so. You're right. Tarrasque.
Yep. So it's pretty crazy.
What is this? Okay.
Before Neil gets lost on the Amazon rabbit hole.
Screw you, Chris. Now I gotta buy it. okay, this looks, like I said, right up the alley of anyone that listens to DMnastics. This is literally just to open it and do a daily exercise. Like, I don't know that there's something more like it.
And I'm sure like all of those sort of 365 writing things, there's probably some duds in there because let's be real, it's hard to come up with 365 things to write about an entire year. So,
yes. Wow. Yeah. Okay, definitely. And we'll have a link to this in the show note, and an Amazon link. Well, we never did the affiliate thing. You just go buy it, whatever. Or go to Barnes & Nobles. You know what? Or go find a bookstore that exists that isn't Barnes & Nobles.
Like, and they will actually probably be able to order it for you.
My town has one, and it's literally in the window, like the only bookstore in town, because it is. I mean, you don't count the comic bookstores. It's like the literally the only actual bookstore in town.
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you can, find it. Or even go to your comic bookstore or your friendly FLGS. See if they'll buy it. So yeah, go support some local businesses as we start to open up once again. Mm-hmm. But with that, I say we turn out the lights and head out of the gym. But before we go, I want to implore you, the listener, to join the forums, the Discord, Twitter, and anywhere else you can find us and take part in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
To do that, head over to the dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?